And there's the dust balls whirling across the screen as we bemoan the absence of Rafe from Nokia World. But breaking news, he's back in the country and he's full of reports and photos and information. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But are you there, Rafe?
I am indeed, Steve.
I also have with us doing the dust ball impression.
Hello! I'm a Victorians. No, I'm not. It's you and Betty. Hello, everybody.
There goes the Scotsman. Okay, on with the news. Nokia World was last week. From my impression, just reading all the coverage, Rafe, I reckon it looked bigger and more interesting than ever before. Was that what you thought?
Yeah, I'd say absolutely spot on there. And I think that's largely because what Nokia have done here is they've combined the traditional Nokia World event, where there's sort of strategy, service announcements, sort of business to business, with kind of the full launch program. Before, we've had, you know, N series specific events or Go Play in London, and we haven't had one of these this year, and it's unlikely we'll have another big one. And so they combined it together. So we had, you know, five device launches, effectively multiple services. Nokia's ever-expanding device portfolio and service portfolio was on, you know, full display, as well as all the usual things we've come to expect from Nokia World. And I think they've also opened it up. It's a bigger event than ever before. It's much more of a two-way conversation rather than sort of Nokia sitting there telling everybody what they're doing. And certainly that came across both on the show floor, where there were sort of little halls off to the side where people could get up and say their own thing, you know, almost run their own session, if you like. You know, they were encouraging you to use the hashtag and tweet from the stage, you know, all very unlike earlier Nokia Worlds. And certainly having been to them before, you know, over the years they've changed almost beyond all recognition.
Yeah, yeah. The first major announcement for Nokia World, remember that some of the things like the booklet 3G and the other touchscreen phone, which whose name escapes me, was the previous week. Also, the N900 was the previous week. We covered that in the previous podcast, so we're not going to go over old ground. We may touch on the N900 later, and also the N97 Mini, which we're about to talk about. The N97 Mini is like an N97, but shrunk down by about, I'd say, about 10 to 15%. The screen's 3.2 inches rather than 3.5. The keypad or stroke keyboard is the same size, but there's no D-pad on the left. And Nokia are pitching it with more of a focus on social media, including something called lifecasting. You investigated lifecasting. What's that all about?
Oh, do you want me to be nice or evil?
Evil.
It's just a widget that allows you to talk to somebody else who's got a fifth edition phone who's on Facebook, which immediately narrows down the... Basically, it goes, I'm here, I can give you a status update and send up a picture to Facebook, and if one of your friends also has the widget running and is online at the same time, they'll get the alert as well. It's yet another one of these let's do something with location tools. And these haven't taken off yet. We've talked about Google Latitude previously in the podcast, good couple months ago. There's a bundle of smaller services and internet startups that are trying to capture this market. Now, Nokia have to make a go at this. They've got Nokia Maps, and it's interesting, it's not fully integrated into that. At the moment, it's only available on the widget-powered devices. But they're doing something very sensible. Their volume and Facebook's volume will provide a great big cloud of people. And remember, the fifth edition is still selling remarkably well. It's over a million units a month. There's at least 12 million of these things in circulation now, with the 5800 variants, the N97, and of course we have the X6 and the other the N97 Mini and the 5230 and 27 and 16 and bingo. So there is a big pool of users. I'm just going to be interested to see just how many people actually use this. And because, you know, Latitude was really easy, but not a lot of people actually ended up using it. I've looked at the people that I've logged on with for Google Latitude. Most of them haven't updated in weeks or months yet. So it's a good first step. And I think it's actually a good first step to building a bridge with Facebook. Because if you have a Nokia Facebook coming together, then that actually becomes very powerful. One of the biggest downloaded applications for the iPhone is the Facebook application. So if Nokia can start bringing that in and doing interesting stuff rather than just the widget they've got at the moment, then I actually think that's what the goal is to build on here. It's more a sort of corporate, let's do something together, like an engagement rather than a committed relationship.
I think that's fair enough. You're Although, to my mind, what this is really about, I mean, they've dressed it up in fancy terms with live casting, you know, suitable promotional video with soft focus. But for me, this is just a way of updating your Facebook status with enhanced information in a very easy way from your phone. Because effectively, what it lets you do is share your location, a photo, and, you know, a text update as you usually would, without having to go to the rigmarole of logging into Facebook. Or, you know, you can do this from your phone, sending a text message or something like that, just as you can for Twitter. But this is sort of, you know, submitting a presence update with all that extra meta information, if you like, which gives you a richer presence stream. And I think the stuff that, you know, will alert you when your friends do a similar thing is kind of an added gimmick. The main thing here for me is it's making it really easy to update your Facebook status from your phone. And the fact it's done using web runtime and widgets is, I think, just a good bit of practical evidence for how you can use web runtime to do this integration with web services and make the experience better than having to log on to the mobile Facebook website and then do all the updates, because there you don't get the picture so easily, you don't get the GPS information. And the same thing is actually true of the basic Facebook client. Yes, that's done in web runtime too, but it's a sort of focused effort to try and add you know, a really easy to use thing. And for the mass market, no, we'll have to wait and see, really. I mean, I think it's still in beta at the moment, so there's certainly room for improvement.
I want to know which PowerPoint slide from Finland you got the phrase route to presence scheme from.
I can't actually remember. I think what I'll also say, I mean, you were saying this is in relation to the N97 Mini, no doubt it will be on other devices, but I think Steve rather undersold the N97 Mini when he was giving the opening, because I was a bit sceptical about it too. I thought, well, that's a bit boring, and €450 is the price point. That seemed to be awfully high to me, and I think it still is a little bit. You know, with the operator subsidies, it will come down. It was one of those devices that when you actually hold it in your hand, it suddenly clicks and you go, wow. And in my opinion, what Nokia described this as doing is taking the N97 from the technology leader segment into sort of the young explorer segment, which it actually has more people in it. So it's widening the appeal of the N97's form factor. And although that size reduction isn't very small, it's very noticeable in the hand. It's got the rounded edges, so it fits more comfortably into the hand. It's got the metallic materials on the back instead of the plastic casing, so it feels much more solid than the N97. I mean, the N97 itself has pretty good build quality, but the N97 Mini feels even better. I think they've marginally improved the keyboard as well. It just has a little bit more click to it than before. And it's also worth remembering that this N97 Mini is running version 2.0 of the N97 firmware, and the N97 will also get this firmware update, which I guess we should talk about in a little bit. But that adds some really significant stuff, like, for example, SIP functionality for doing voice over IP calls, kinetic scrolling on both the list view UIs and the grid view UIs. And for the grid view UIs, for example, that means you actually get kinetic scrolling in the list of applications. There's also all sorts of updates to the sort of APIs behind the home screen web runtime, so it works better in an online-offline mode. There's also new default widgets, and all the software has been updated, so you'll get the HTML version of Nokia messaging, you'll get Ovi Maps 3.0, you'll get an updated version of the music store and the Ovi store and things like that. So in summary, N97 Mini, a little bit of a dark horse. I think it would have got a lot more attention if there hadn't been a whole bunch of other announcements. It's partly about the software. We're going to get that on the N97, and I think that will sort of give a second renaissance, if you like, to the N97. There's still some problems with a 65th edition. We'll address them more in a sort of future text articles and podcasts. But it's also the actual hardware itself just seems to fit better in the hand. And if you ask me to choose between an N97 and an N97 Mini, I'd actually choose the N97 Mini despite the cut down on screen size and memory. But that's really what it's about, consumer choice, and it will broaden the appeal of the N97 range. And together with the software, this is actually going to make the N97 still be one of Nokia's best-selling handsets. And Nokia actually announced at Nokia World that they'd sold 2 million of these things, which for a device that's been so lambasted in the press and so unhyped, and you know the reviews have been very critical, that's an very impressive achievement for what is effect less than 2 months of sales, at least in the mainstream. And that, you know, with the 5800, as Ewan said, that's taken it to well over 10 million. So I wouldn't dismiss the N97 Mini as much of the sort of press seem to do this week.
The two things that get me excited about the N97, one of them is they've got rid of that horrible cursor ring that long-term listeners will, I absolutely hate that design of this sort of square in a square and a button. And they've went back to traditional cursor keys on the right-hand side of the keyboard. I like that. That just smacks to me that it's not for gaming or moving, it's for actual writing and doing texting and updating with it, which will be great. It's a social media phone. I also think that it's harking back to that difference between the Nokia 9500 and the Nokia 9300. Now, the 9500 is still regarded as a pretty much powerhouse phone that did really well. But, you know, once the 9300 came out, that was the one I gravitated to. Now, admittedly, the first one didn't have the camera on it, but it was a small, svelte size. It had a really good keyboard for the size it had with the doming, and the N97 Mini has all of that, yet it's the most recent update of S60. It has a decent web browser software in it, and the 9300 did brilliantly in the sales. The fact that they actually had the 9300i and improved it with users' feedback, and it became a mainstay of Nokia's communicators range before it kind of fractured down into the E and N series. So I think the N97 Mini is going to inhabit that exact same space where tech people and gadget websites are going to, they've just shrunken it a little bit. But the man on the street, the woman on the street, the people actually buying phones are going to go, that one, now, thank you very much, and have a really good experience.
There we are. You heard it first here, news of the N97 Mini I from Mr. Johan Svens, which may well yet happen. The N97 Mini, meanwhile, is expected to begin shipping in October for a retail price of €450 before all the messing around with subsidies, operators and taxes.
So only 13 months to wait then.
And the question that Rafe asked us before we came on air was, how much do we reckon the N97 Mini will outsell, if at all, the N900, which we talked about in length at in the previous podcast. Now, my guess was going to be around 4-1. So the N97 Mini will outsell the N900 4-1. And your guess was?
Well, I said 3-1 because I think in the initial sales period, the N900 is going to have very much of a spike of buyers. Because it's such a geek handset, geek chic is probably the greatest phrase that you can use for it, there's going to be a huge spike of sales at the start and then it will die off, and the N97 Mini is going to have this climb up to a solid number and then it will just keep on going as we're seeing with the range existing. So if we're measuring it in that sort of maybe first two months or so, then it's going to be about 3-1. I think if we looked at it more long term, the N97 Mini is destined to at least go 3-1, possibly 4-1 or higher.
And the whole point of Rafe asking this question, obviously, was that as Ewan said, the entire blogosphere is lit up with this new MIMO 5 device, saying how wonderful it is, and why can't Nokia use this software and interface for their next generation of smartphones and ditch Symbian, etc., etc. But Rafe, your guess to the same question you asked us was?
Well, I think 5-1. I mean, I do think Ewan's right. There'll be initial surge on the N900. But I think even 5-1 might be a bit optimistic on the N900 front. I mean, an interesting aside here is that the head of sales, Terry for Nokia, actually said that he expected the N97 plus the N97 Mini to outsell the original N95 and N95 8GB. And the last number we have for those is 15 million. And I would be very surprised indeed if the N900, for example, does 3 million or so over the course of its lifetime. I suspect the number might be near a couple of million. Of course, there's no way to tell. And I was certainly very taken aback when, you know, some of the other people on the blogs that were writing saying, you know, this N900, it's going to outsell the N97. I think that's highly unlikely. So if I had to put a number on this, I would say 5-1 and maybe even a little bit higher, nearer to 6 or even 7-1. That is over the course of the device lifetime, and it's a bit tricky because I think the N900 may have a limited shelf life simply because MIMO is going to evolve quite quickly over the next year, and effectively there will be a device that replaces it in about 12 to 18 months' time, whereas I would expect the N97, especially the N97 Mini, to have a similar shelf life to the N95 8GB, which after all is actually still selling quite well in the shops even now, you know, what we're talking two and a half years after its launch. So there was a deliberate reason for asking that question. It's just to emphasise that for all the excitement around the N900, and, you know, as much as anyone, I can appreciate that, though I do think it has a lot of interesting features about it that make it far more a geek device than most people seem to be picking up on. And this was borne out with what Nokia said in the sort of, obviously there are a lot of questions about Symbian versus MIMO at Nokia World, and we'll be doing a whole bunch of content on that. But it came down to the fact that effectively the N900 is almost an experimental platform for them to explore a new area, if you like, a sandbox, whereas Symbian is their smartphone platform, and they actually said it's going to become their biggest platform, presumably looking to display some of Series 40 over time, just as Series 40 sort of has largely displaced Series 30. And so it's almost my knee-jerk reaction is, yes, I like the N900 a lot, and I'm in the target market for it, and I'll almost certainly get hold of one. But at the same time, I wouldn't play it over to emphasize too much, and especially, I think, in some of the media, all the attention has been on the N900, and yet it's almost a false dawn, if you see what I mean. And we should really be still paying attention to something like the N97 Mini. And as I said, you know, it got rather lost in the attention of everything else at Nokia World. But in some ways, this is a device that really is going to be, you know, whether Nokia succeeds in the high end or not, especially with its service proposition. And so I want to almost overemphasize the N97 Mini in contrast to the N900 because it has not received the attention it deserves elsewhere.
Yeah, I was quite interested to see the photographs of the N97, or the original N97, and the N900 side by side. And the N900 was noticeably wider and chunkier. And the vast majority of people who have seen my N97 say, that's a jolly large phone. And as you say, the market for something that's as large as the N900 as a phone, I think, is comparatively small. In terms of sales numbers, which we've been estimating and guesstimating, the 5800, as we know, and its sister devices, I think, are going to carry on selling at 1 million units a month, if not more, with the extra variants, maybe up to 2 million units a month.
At least, I'd say.
Yeah, the N97 original has been selling at around about 600,000 to 700,000 a month. That will start dying down slightly as its sister devices come on stream. But the N97 Mini will more than take up the slack, and I expect the two N97 variants to be selling something like 1 to 1.5 million units a month over the next 3 or 4 months. The N900, by comparison, I would be surprised if it got anywhere near 1 million units a month. Even in its first month, I would think it would have a spike of getting up to a few hundred thousand, maybe 500,000, and then die down from there. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a perfect reasonable thing to say. I mean, it's very difficult to guess at these things, and as I say, I think there'll be a lot of excitement initially, but it's interesting you said that the N900 looks like an awfully big phone next to the N97. And yes, it's true. I mean, it's really the extra wideness and the thickness a little bit. But really, what I noticed most of all was the weight, and it just doesn't fit as comfortably in the hand as a phone. But the N97 Mini just really reinforces that impression. But what was interesting is you called it a phone, and the truth is it really isn't a phone. Yes, it has the phone functionality, that it's the thing that works in portrait mode, where the rest of the device is really landscape mode. But the phone is just one icon on this device, and it's not really centric to the home screen at all. So it's almost, the phone is an afterthought to this device. It's not, of course, because clearly the phone, particularly the cellular radio for data, is a very important part of this device. But I don't see this as a phone, I should stop calling it a phone. It's really a device that operators are going to range in quite the same way. And in one sense, I think you could see the N900 almost as similar to the netbook-like devices. That people will buy this and then probably have another phone as well. That's not going to be completely true, because there are going to be the early adopters who don't mind having a device that is less a phone, or rather isn't completely phone-centric, because they're doing so much more with it. But it is, I think, a mistake to sort of compare the N900 directly to the phone market, in much the same way that, you know, when the iPhone came in, people talked about it as a phone, but really, as much as it was a phone, it was also sort of a music or a media playback device, and that's what people still use it for as much as anything else. And if anything, I think the N900 goes beyond that, and it's really, the way Nokia were talking about it, is it's, you know, a desktop computer and its paradigms fitted into a mobile device. And part of that's marketing speak, but there's an awful lot of truth behind that too, in terms of the way it works and what it's capable of in terms of under the hood. At the moment, the software is still very young, And so, in all fairness, in terms of actual things it does, in terms of real-world tasks, it's not that different to the N97, but the emphasis on which it places on those tasks is very different, and the way it presents them to the user in terms of the sort of the UI that looks a bit like Alt-Tab in Windows or Expose from the Mac is very different to the way that S60 does things. And so that sort of computing functionality, if you will, is at the fore, and the phone is very much sort of hidden behind everything else. It can still do it. And even within the phone application, there's as much emphasis on the ability to do, you know, voice over IP calls or Skype calls as there is actually on the cellular calls. And that's a big, big contrast to the sort of Nokia smartphones as running on the Symbian platform. And I don't think people have fully appreciated that yet.
But on to Symbian, there was one other big Symbian device launched just after the N97 Mini. It was the X6. Going to be marketed as a music phone, certainly in the new Express Music, now shortened just to X series phones. It's got 32 gigabytes of storage, just as the N97, which, to be honest, is enough for most people's music collections. And the interesting point here is that so far, when the current announcements, it's only going to be available in a comes with music variant. It's that or nothing. You did the news story on this. What's your take on the X6?
Well, first of all, I had to look up my old X-plane designations, because X numbers always used to be the Great American Rocket Planes. The X6 actually never flew. It was going to be America's first nuclear engine-powered bomber. I like this phone. I think this phone is going to be a big seller, and I might even hesitate to say that I think this will actually be bigger unit sales-wise than the N97. It's essentially the 5800... evolved. It's got everything that the 5800 did have and did well, and the stuff that didn't do well has been polished too. And it's incredibly interesting how they pitch this with the comes with music package. First of all, and I think Rafe confirmed this for me, this is the first time that Apple has ever been directly mentioned in a Nokia World keynote, Rafe, yes?
I think at Nokia World keynote, you know, that's probably right, although they have been mentioned in passing in various other Nokia announcements.
And the comparison there was, how much would it cost you to download the top 100 albums? And it was about 940 euros if you were to buy them through iTunes, buying them individually, or using it with Comments with Music. It's part of your subscription, so it doesn't cost you anything. Obviously, that price is built into the phone, and there's the DRM, and there are various loopholes there, so it's not a completely direct comparison. But the thing is, the difference in 940 euros to you get it with your phone, and you can do that every week whenever the top 40 is updated, and kids, you can just ignore downloading Purelin, who's at number 2 at the moment in the UK albums chart. And just, it's like, this is it, guys, you can get as much music as you like. It was moving more into that software market, and this is where Nokia are going. They're no longer a tech company, they're a software company. And I think they're finding it hard to get that message over, but music is where it's becoming clearest. Buying a phone with as much music as you can have for, what is it, about 150 euros or something, putting that up with the prices of other handsets where you have to buy the music, it just provides a wonderfully brilliant contrast and lets them show, you know, this is what we can do as a software company. Unfortunately, it takes a little bit longer to explain than going, boom, just one more thing.
Yeah. There are some technical points that's worth mentioning before I hand over to Rafe on the X6. It's the first Nokia touchscreen device with a capacitive touchscreen. Again, bringing on the iPhone comparisons, I guess. It's a 3.2-inch screen. It's 16:9 widescreen ratio. I guess it's the same resolution as the 5800, Rafe. Yeah, well, you handled the X6. So how did it feel in the hand compared to the 5800?
I would say it felt like a more premium handset. I mean, the stuff I saw was still quite early on. I'd say the build quality was maybe at a similar level, but it didn't feel so chunky. It felt sort of slimmer in the hand, and it's quite hard to describe. It actually felt like a sort of oval cylinder cut in half and then sliced lengthways. So it has a rounded back to it, but it's, you know, it feels quite comfortable in the hand, and it's also pretty light. It does have the 5-megapixel camera on the back as well, so you know, that feeling of 5800 plus is quite strong. I think the capacitive screen was actually one of the most interesting things about it, because I was sitting in a room full of media people, and someone said, oh, it's got a capacitive screen, and I said, yes, that's right. But there were, let's say, several unbelievers in the room, and no one could actually tell whether it was resistive or capacitive. It actually had to wait until we got confirmation on the specifications before anyone was willing to talk about it. So I really think it said it all, that that many people who, you know, knew their phones, with iPhone owners around the place and plenty of people who had used both, couldn't actually tell the difference between the two screens. And given that there's so much debate on the capacitive versus resistant, it rather made me chuckle that, you know, if this difference was so readily apparent, why couldn't we pick it up? And actually, my personal opinion on this is a lot of it has to do with the sort of things you use on the phone. And if your platform has gestures, i.e. sort of, you know, doing pinch zooming, of course, at that point, you can feel the difference readily because the surface is quite different. But the X6 is very nice with its glass screen. You know, it feels very smooth to the touch, but doesn't really seem to make that much difference in the screen technology way. I mean, I think the X6 is a great example of a phone that, again, is sort of probably going to be a little bit unheralded because it is only going to be available, comes with music. That, of course, may change in the future. But what it does do is offer a fantastic value proposition when you compare it to other phones. Now, I've heard some people say that this is a bit expensive, but when you consider that it's got probably €100 or so markup for comes with music, it suddenly looks really quite competitive. And this is a phone that, you know, people are going to measure against something like the iPhone, particularly if not, particularly that maybe the lower end iPhones, which are coming down in price as the older generation ones. And this is Nokia's sort of alternative offering. And comes with music has had something of a hard birth in some way, particularly in the UK. It's done very well in Singapore, for example, where it's captured a significant portion of the digital music market. But this is the sort of device that people go, oh, yes, I'd like that device. Oh, I get comes with music with it. So it almost will act as a promotional aspect for comes with music. But the thing is, I think how you can really judge this device is if you took the comes with music subscription away and knocked €100 off the price, we'd be talking, you know, 300 to 350 euros, at which point people would suddenly be going, wow, that's a fantastic value for what you're getting with this device, you know, in terms of getting the 5 megapixel camera, the GPS, the 3G, a capacitive touchscreen, 32 gigabytes of memory. You know, that's nothing to sniff at. That's only something we've seen in the N97 before now. And it's interesting, talking to Nokia, they said the reason it's got 32 gigabytes in it is that's directly the result of consumer feedback for people who are using the comes with music devices. So those are things like the 5310 and some of the 5800 and the 5630 and other comes with music devices. And they've all said there isn't actually enough memory in it for me to be able to take full advantage of comes with music. So therefore, they're effectively introducing a premium comes with music device that you could say is more directly competing with some of the high-end music players like the Apple iPod Touch and the Apple iPhone. Without actually necessarily being in the same category as something like the N97 or the N900 in terms of pricing. So yes, it looked attractive. It had the multiple colour thing going on and was bang up to date with all the usual Nokia services. Was shipping with quite a few extra games, and something that caught my eye when they were sort of promoting it in the videos. Well, videos were front and central, not so dissimilar to, you know, the iPhone being a great gaming platform. And so yes, that one definitely caught my eye. And it's a great example of how Nokia is introducing things in different segments and has a very wide portfolio compared to any other company. So yes, the X6, one to keep an eye on. I certainly look forward to getting the review device in.
Yeah, interesting hearing you commenting there about the Nokia's broad portfolio. It's also interesting to note that contrary to the Apple iPhone, which tends to be locked to one specific network in each country that it's distributed in and tends not to be sold very much in terms of SIM-free, and even then it's locked that same network. The deluge, if you like, of Nokia S65th edition phones coming in all directions, in all countries, on all networks and SIM-free, I think that's got a fair old amount of inertia behind it, which is why I think Nokia is far from dead, as I've mentioned in recent podcasts. Now, we have other Nokia World 09 news, but I'm going to hold that for the next Insight 87, because that's all to do with software and services, and I'd like to focus on that specially and give it some airtime. Also give Rafe a week to recover from Nokia World and prepare. We have some reader questions in. Just make these snappy answers, guys, if you can. Let's start with Rob Wigley via Twitter. Do you think the N97 will get Symbian to the Power 2 firmware in the future? Is that what Nokia meant when they had big plans for it? Rafe?
Rafe. Okay. I was going to say,
no, it's not going to get Symbian to the Power 2, but it really doesn't matter because most of what you get in Symbian Power 2 is already in the N97 from a user point of view. And one of those is the customizable home screen, which the N97 already has. When they say big plans, they're talking about the big firmware update that's coming at the end of October. Got a sneak preview of this at Nokia World. Indeed, we've already talked about it in the podcast. And there will almost certainly be an N97 software version 3.0 at some point, which will add in additional sort of services and software. And so that's what Nokia is talking about when they're saying they have big plans for it. It's something of a contrast to their earlier models in that they're going to continue to update it and add features and expect people to upgrade the firmware. So the first one of those is going to be October, and that comes with the introduction of the N97 Mini. But we are going to see updates over and above that, especially as some of Nokia's service solutions start to mature. And we're
okay, well, that brings us on to another question, which is related, Rafe, if you can bring that into your word flow there. The Zanijak, I still can't pronounce his name, says, we've seen the preview of version 20, but no signs of the promised Skype integration. Have Nokia given up on Skype, or do you think that will happen?
Well, I've got some good news for you on that front. Although it's not part of the version 2 firmware, the reason for this is that it wasn't quite ready. And as I've commented before, firmwares tend to have quite long lead times. But around October time, we can expect to see the Skype client become available in the SW update application. In other words, it will be available as a standalone software update, but it will be fully integrated into the contacts and telephone application. So you'll be able to play with Skype on your phone in very short order.
Okay, so we're looking for some sort of Ovi contact Skype messaging plus solution.
Yes, what we'll probably see is it integrated in the same way as Ovi contacts. And by the time we roll around to the version 3.0 firmware, they'll have tested it a bit more, it'll be more mature, and it'll be included in the firmware then. But the good news is it will be available as a separate software download, and you'll be able to get that onto your device very soon.
It's certainly very confusing being a geek and an early adopter as part of the All About Symbian team, because you download all these little Beta Labs extensions and then the betas of the different third-party tools, and they're all kind of conflicting. And at some point, you just have to go back and hard reset and rebuild, because having all this beta software all trying to get hooks into the OS and into your data does get rather confusing. Moving on with questions, Mike Day, with the N900 release imminent, how long do you think it will take for the number of third-party apps to reach a similar number to S60?
Well, this is actually quite a tricky question, because
I think the question there is, how do you define third-party apps? Because it's going to have the GNOME frame kit underneath. So theoretically, it could use a lot of existing applications out there.
That's true, although they probably will require fairly extensive modification to run in what I would call a consumer-friendly way. The reason I said this was a tricky question is you may have picked up in Ansi Van Jokke's note that he said that the N900 in MAMO was step 4 or 5, and actually what we've got coming probably this time next year is the next release of MIMO, which is MIMO 6, and that's actually going to change the developer framework. And previously, at the moment rather, it's based on GNOME, and in the future it's going to be based on Qt or Qt together with WebKit and Web Runtime, which obviously it's not the case at the moment when we've got this the GNOME framework and Firefox, which runs KHTML as the sort of HTML engine. So there's going to be something of a developer break between MIMO 5 and 6, which might put some developers off developing stuff for MIMO 5. As I also said earlier, the N900 really is a niche device, and so I suspect we're going to see a lot of kind of open source programs come onto it fairly quickly, and hobbyist programs and people who want to play about with it. In terms of the big commercial software, that might be a little bit further behind, but given the excitement around this, I do expect there to be a fairly rapid build-up of software. And for example, I've already seen Bounce Evolution as a 3D game running on it. Looked fantastic, by the way, thanks to the OpenGL 2 accelerated hardware graphics. There was also Data Visits Documents to Go, admittedly only in read-only format, but that was for Word, Excel and PowerPoint. So, you know, already some of the popular solutions are appearing on it. But I think it would probably be fair to say, in terms of the commercial releases, I'm not sure MIMO will catch S60 for quite some time to come. What I do expect there to be is a lot more kind of hobbyist stroke, not beta releases, but kind of informal releases going on. Stuff available through the Ovi store, I would expect to probably it to be far less, in fact. But we'll have to watch that one and it's difficult because there's certainly going to be a certain amount of geek momentum behind it that is going to ensure lots of these kind of part-time programmers pushing to put stuff on it. And in terms of programming, it probably is fair to say that MIMO 5 is easier to program, at least in native terms, than Symbian is, even if we are moving to a Qt and widget-based world in the future.
Yeah, if Ewan can get the ka-ching sound effect ready, I have to say that the N900 and the scene as you've just described it does remind me an awful lot of the days of Scion.
Yeah. No, I think that's very fair, actually, and it's an apt comparison.
And I actually think I'm going to put a number on this. I'm going to say that I don't think the N900 will have more than 250 recognized applications. There will be a lot of stuff that will run in Windows that aren't quite right. But stuff that's programmed for the N900, I don't think we're going to see over 250. Off the top of my head, the 9210 managed to pick up around 400 applications. And that was just as easy to program.
I would probably put
a little bit longer at 250, but I don't think it's certainly going to reach four figures.
I mean, I think ballpark maybe, but I think it's probably worth bearing in mind that in contrast to the 9210, MIMO has been around before, and there are several hundred applications available for the previous generation of tablets. And bringing those over is not going to be difficult. So, for example, one of the really popular ones on the previous tablets with Canola for managing multimedia, and I think that will be ready to go when the device launches. And I think quite a few applications will follow. So there's Skype, for example, is going to be available as well. And there's going to be various email clients. I know one of the questions we got in with what's the email program on the N900, and that's actually something called Modest, which has been developed as an open source project. So we'll see that on the N900 as well. So I'd say it's difficult to draw this comparison between what I call truly commercial applications as available in the Ovi store and maybe ones that are more available via sort of repositories and things. And actually, it's interesting, the N900 is already accepting that, and there's going to be more than one way to get software on this device, and one of which will be Ovi store, which would be kind of the mass market user acceptable way. But there's also going to be the capability for sort of doing it via repositories, as we already have for the tablet platform.
You and you, like me, been observing Nokia world from a distance. Have you one observation you like to end with?
I have, yes. I would just like to say that in previous Nokia worlds, I have made the comment that Ansi Van Jocky looks rather like Blofeld from the James Bond movies. And I would like to apologize to him and Donald Pleasance and Telly Savalas and all the other ones, because him striding out on stage to do the second keynote, I realized that he's not Blofeld. He is actually Carl Stromberg from The Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Well... yes, there's not really much I can say to that, apart from to say we've been talking about the hardware, and I think the big thing out of me for Nokia World was really the reflection that Nokia is now a company with two halves, one of which is hardware, which still
attracts
the most
interest.
And the other
one is going to take over the world, Mr. Bond.
Well, that's right. It's going to take over the world through solutions, or software and services, if we called them up until now. And it's this really strong reinforcement of the idea that Nokia is becoming a software company. And nowhere has this been more evident than Nokia World, where we've seen a whole bunch of announcements, which I think are arguably more significant than all the hardware we've been talking about this time round. So be sure to tune into next week's All About Symbian Insight, where we're going to be talking about some of those and the way that they may change the world.
Yeah, specifically, to tease you, the Ovi SDK, Lifecasting, which we mentioned briefly this time, social messaging, and there are a couple of others, including brand new versions of Ovi Maps, brand new version of Ovi Suite. There's just so much to talk about, but that's all for Insight number 87. In the meantime, you can follow us, of course, on allaboutsymbian.com. There's also ovigaming.com if you haven't caught up with that. And there's another site, allaboutxxxxx.com, where you can substitute the new Linux-based platform of your choice. Also follow Steve Litchfield, Ewan Spence, and Rafe Blandford on Twitter. It's goodbye from me. Goodbye from...
Rafe.
And it's goodbye from me, and there's nothing you can do to stop us, Mr. Jobs.
Oh dear, Ewan taking over the world. Now there's a vision.
I think I'm moving to Mars.
All right, bye everybody.